The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
And now, another episode in the life of Sherlock Holmes, starring Wolfman Jack as the famous sleuth and Garibaldi as Dr. Watson.
I say, Holmes, your bank shot of the three ball off the 2, 7, 6, 3, 10, and 8 was quite a task, old boy.
Oh, thank you, Watson. It's only a matter of physics, my good man, when one is playing pool. Your turn, old boy.
Okay, 5 ball, side pocket. I miss.
It's your stance, my dear Watson, your stance.
My stance.
Yes, you're not putting enough English on your balls, Watson.
Oh, well, I'll fix that, old boy. I'll just take
Watson, what are you doing?
Watson, you've mistaken my point. I'll take this off right here.
Oh, my gosh, this is embarrassing.
To have my cue stick.
Watson,
I'll just put
you're putting your balls in my pocket.
I'll put this cue stick right here, oh boy. I'll just take this out of here.
Be with us again when we look at another unknown episode in the lives of Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Capello.
Porky Pig. 4 years later, they were going to run him again and found out he was dead. But there's nothing in the Constitution which says the candidate must be alive. The candidate must at least be 35 years old, and he must have the necessary equipment. If he hasn't got that equipment, he can't screw the people. That's why I say I would never vote for a president or a candidate that didn't have a mistress. Let him do to the mistress what he's going to do to us. But I tell you, I have a philosophy, and my philosophy is, it is better to receive than to give. A lot of people say it's better to give. You want to give? Give, give. You give so much, you say, but you never get tired of receiving. Therefore, I say, don't earn more than you could spend. But spend more than you earn and die in debt. Now, if you owe a lot of money, you're going to live long. I mean, the people you owe it to are going to make sure you live long. But if you die at 75 and you owe $300,000, to amortize that loan at $30,000 a year will take you 18 years to pay it off. So you actually live to be 93. Because you're living on money you would have made if you lived that long. So my suggestion, in order to reach this affluent plateau, my suggestion is borrow. Borrow. Start with your friends. Borrow from your friends. And when they ain't got any more money, make new friends. But keep borrowing. That was the basis of our government's success. Our forefathers borrowed. They borrowed, and they never paid it back. Our fathers borrowed. They didn't pay it back. We borrowed. We ain't gonna pay it back. It was our forefathers that gave us this debt. If we had two fathers instead of four fathers, we'd have half the goddamn debt. Now, I want to say that we are here primarily in order to push off and start off a great idea. It was W.E.B. Du Bois who said, you can't have a third party in the United States as long as you have one party operating under two different names. There's no difference between Bush's program and a Barbos program. I voted for him, which was my first mistake. The man lied to us. He sent 20,000 new recruits to Afghanistan. He's supposed to have gotten us out of the war yesterday. He wants to wait another 2 years to keep us in there, killing people we don't even know. The difference between a terrorist and a soldier has a license to kill. He doesn't know who he's killing, doesn't know why he's killing them, and he gets paid. But the terrorist knows who he's killing, knows why he's killing him, but he doesn't get paid. That's why there are so few terrorists. They just don't get paid. But yeah, I'm saying that is one of the great things about this country. 20 years ago, the dollar was worth 7 cents. Here it is 20 years later. The government stood by that dollar, and it's still now worth 7 cents. A loaf of bread 20 years ago cost you 5 cents. Today, 20 years later, that loaf costs $4.10. You people that were saving money were stupid. You should have saved bread. But I want to say that we generally have a question period. Now, I'm sure a lot of you people are frustrated and full of anxieties and desires. And due to the fact that the world is now tottering on the brink, overlooking the precipice, bordering the abyss, I'm sure there are a lot of problems that do irk you. I am here to clarify those issues. So please, when you ask a question, please, no names.
Most people in talk radio get in front of a microphone, they say, I have all the answers. Well, you know, it's me, the difficult historian, the pilgrim of productive alternative broadcasting, the godfather of internet radio, the bard of broadcasting. I have only the questions that make you find the answers. Ah, yes, once again. Regardless of delays, it's me, Frank Attolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Let's get going. The Vegetable Man, the Third Man, and everything else. There's plenty to talk about. There's plenty to last. Don't go anywhere. Hold on. Cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to city, from Othello and into every bordello. Yes, there are still bordellos. Probably a bordello in your town you even know about. I wonder. I asked a friend a couple of months ago. You know, you say things, you know, when you think of something that happened and you go, what was it? A couple of weeks ago? A day ago? What's the difference when? I said to you, I asked a friend recently, let's just say. And then you go, was it even recently? So, like, you know, is there a bordello around here? You know? Is there someone I thought might know? Is there a bordello around here? Now, of course, there won't be a bordello. It'll be an illegal joint. Because this isn't in Nevada. Unless you're in Nevada, then I guess that's the case. But I think every place has a place like that. So, when I say that, don't say, well, yeah, right, but into every bordello. How many bordellos are there? Like, that's how you talk, right? because you have a bordello, believe me. And they're probably listening somewhere, even if they're all standing by their phones waiting for out calls or in calls or any kind of calls. Speaking of out calls and in calls, where have I been? Well, it didn't matter because I'm here. I'll tell you a lot about some things that happened over the past 2 weeks. And you know, there's something about this year that has stumbled and just dragged along and taken weeks from us. I didn't intend to be gone, although thank you for SRN and everyone else who were using other shows. Gosh knows I got enough. Someone said to me, oh, don't worry. Don't worry. They only have 597 shows to pick from. And it's good. I don't know if they're all that interesting, but repeats? Yes, there are repeats here and there. Only when I can't make it. Now, I took 1 week off. Back in the old days, and by old days now, I'm talking about maybe only 3 years ago, every week that we were on, every Thursday that we were on, before the first Saturday in May, when came the Kentucky Derby, Dusty Nathan would be on the show and we'd talk about the Kentucky Derby. Just as a general thing, and people wanted, so many more people watch it and even bet on it than they do anything else the rest of the year. It just happened to be that one big day and people have parties. Kind of like the Academy Awards, you know. People don't watch movies all year just to see who might be the best actor or actress or editor. They don't do that. But they do watch the Kentucky Derby. So, but this year, for the first time, and out of all the places I've ever been, I've been a lot of places. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, okay? This year, there was no show. Well, there wasn't a show last year either. Come to think of it. I don't know why. We lost Dusty for a couple of weeks. No, we didn't lose Dusty. We lost him for a couple of months or something because he disappears now and then. But he was there. And, you know, if he were at his, at his mic now, we could talk about the Preakness, but some people don't even care. Not about Dusty. You know, I could do that. I could do anything I want. This is my show. It's me, Frank Atolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Here on Y2K plus 17. A lot less shows this year already than last year, but so we're never going to be able to catch up, right? Because, no, we can't catch up. Once you lose them, it's like sleep. Someone once said to me, you know, you lose sleep, and people say, I got to catch up on my sleep. You never catch up on sleep. Did you know that? When you lose sleep, it's gone. And you don't make up for it, even if you sleep more when you haven't slept. And I had a bad bunch of sleeping days trying to acclimate myself to the wonderful hospitality of one of my clients, which happens to be Churchill Downs. And it was a wonderful, wonderfulness of them. That is my friends over there and co-workers that I've, guys I've worked with, Lucky Calangis and, Ed DeRosa. I don't know if somebody hear the word and the name Ed, I'm going to go Norton. Well, yeah, something. And it's not because of the actor. It's because of the character on The Honeymooners. Go figure that out or look it up or something. But anyway, we had a lot of fun, good, wonderful, even though it was a real adventure, and I could talk about it in many ways. Because I'd never been, as I said, I've been many places. I'd never been to Louisville, Kentucky. I've been to Lexington, Kentucky. I've been to Paducah. The Duke of Paducah. Lived in Nashville for a while. And did broadcasting there and all sorts of stuff. But never been there, no less on that weekend. What a crazy week. It's like a, it's a Mardi Gras of types. You know, they make sure the whole week is filled with activities. Anyway, thank you to the city of Louisville, especially to Churchill Downs and the Twin Spires and everybody. But anyway, so what happens is I get back and, I just, you know, here's what I hate about bad colds, any kind of colds you get. You know, ones that last. You know, one of the things that takes you out of commission. Here's what I hate about them. Why the human mind immediately denies what you're feeling is going to turn into one of those sore throat, chest, mucus, making, maybe fever, emulating colds or some kind, not a flu. Although, you know, I guess bad colds like that border on a flu. You could still hear it, I think. You may hear it. I'm not going to hit the kill switch. You know. Have coffee. Replenishing my precious bodily fluids. That's a coffee, of course, black as death, dark as night, and good. Brewed. Good to the bottom of the can. That's, wait, that was wrong. That was Shrinker. The famous, coffee that helped shrink your, that helped, alleviate your hemorrhoids. Shrinker coffee. Good to the bottom of the can. That was, this was something else. Saloon doors. But I'm back. But anyway, it, you deny it. I can, there's a little scratchiness on my throat. We're driving back through, you know, America. those great states in America that are, you know, I don't know how I could ever live in those states, but although I've lived in some weird states, but let's not go there. The point is, I'm feeling that little thing it feels like post-nasal drip. And I talk myself into it. Again, this is like, how many times? I don't even have a diary or a count. I don't even have those. I don't even have those markings they make in prison when they're like, you know how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, and then they click 5. Per 5. How many years I've been in here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 10 years. 15 years. You know, till finally they get out or whatever. At least I think that's how they do it. But you know how to do that. Do they still do that? Anyway, I don't even know if people still do that. You go 1, 2, 3, 4. Those are like sticks next to one another. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then you cross it. That'd be the 5. That whole little, figure represents a 5. So I don't know how many times I've denied myself when in fact I, you know, here it comes. I got it, you know. And then, so this is nothing. I'm going, that's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. I've lost sleep. I've been in the rain. It, you know, it was quite an adventure, but that still didn't mean I was going to get sick. I might have been incubating as I went, as I was there, as I was going through my adventure in Louisville. And so, you know, what happens? Bingo. I collapse. I mean, I just, my throat is aflame. I hate those sore throats. They're still never as bad as the strep throat. I had that twice. Twice I had a strep throat in my life when I was younger. Man, I had a lot of crap when I was younger. That was incredible because, you know, you don't really think about how many times you swallow. Not when you eat, but just in general. I mean, when, you know, you talk or drink anything, you know, just whatever you do. And you swallow. Hmm? And you don't think about it. But boy, when you got a bad sore throat or strep throat, I don't wish that on anyone. Your strep throat, you know, pus bags. Those are pus bags. I've talked about this before. I know I've talked about pus bags on the throat before. I mean, I've been on for 20 something years, right? As it said on Twitter the other day, every Thursday forever. Who remembers a time when I wasn't, you know, there are people who have been born and have grown up within the time that I've been on Cthulhu Chronicles. There's never not been a Cthulhu Chronicles per se. Isn't that something? That's weird. It's a testament to me, Frank Cthulhu, to my persistence. But anyway, I've done a lot of shows, as I've mentioned before, also. Sick, ill, under the weather. Well, there's so many ways to say it. There's euphemisms and mephemisms and iphemisms and allegories, metaphors, and allegories, allophores and things. There's a lot of ways to saying it, but I mean, I have done these shows under duress and under adversarial conditions. Like, take now, for instance, it's only May. It's mid-May, leaning on the leaving lay, way. May! leaning on the leaving May days. And I'm sitting here as if it's August, you know, when I always complain about what? The weather. I have my headphones on. These are new headphones. I got them in December. My boys bought me these new headphones. Maybe I'll take them off. That's what I'll do. I like to hear myself. No, I'm not. I'm putting them back on. See, I suffer through that because the dynamics of broadcasting with me are important, especially since I talk. And I can control those dynamics more efficiently. And I could make my point more clearly when I hear myself loudly in my ears. See, you hear that? That's still mucus in the nose. The nose is a foam with a sound of mucus. But, you know, you always deny it, and then what happens, Bing? And then you feel like a jerk. I know I do. I feel like a jerk. Well, of course it was sick. Of course it was sick. That's what I was feeling. I was feeling sick. I get mad at myself. I should have known. And I knew that I had at least a day and a half of sore throat. Now, when I get back, because of my lifestyle, I'm sick, but I can't just sit in bed or on a big chair and drink water. You know what I was drinking? I made hot water, boiling water, lemon, a real lemon, not lemon juice, real lemon juice or something, a slice of lemon and honey. No tea, no coffee, just that. And you keep drinking it. It's good because you're drinking water. And as I always told you, you got to, you know, replenish your precious bodily fluids, especially when you're sick, because two things happen when you're sick. Number one, you heal more quickly when you sleep. That's number one. Number two, staying fluid and urinating helps circulate all your blood in a way that you get stuff out, the bad stuff. I'm not a doctor. Don't play one on TV. I don't know much about this stuff. I know the rudimentary things, the things you really should know, the little things. It's the little things that can help you. That may save your life, the little things. So came Thursday last week. I can't do this because I was still raw. It was still raw, my throat, and I just imagined. And then let me tell you something. That's even just as bad, even just as bad. And I said, oh my goodness, Kirk Brando is supposed to be on from the Philippines tonight. Well, on Thursday. So I have to get in touch with Kirk. I'm going, maybe I should do it. I mean, if he's going to stay up or whatever's going to happen and all the trouble that we've gone to in rearranging of schedules to be, have him on the show again. What do I find out? Suddenly I get a Facebook message, and I wasn't on Facebook a lot. That's where I went to get him and talk to him. It's confirm it. Are you okay? You coming on? Maybe. And then, you know, I'm going like, hey, I got a little wiggle room here. Maybe I could tell him, look, can he come on next week? And what happens? He goes, Kurt, what a loving guy. I could never be like him. I admit it. He's a better man than am I. Kirk Brando says, are you going to kill me? Oh, no, he said, you're going to hate me. You know, it's one of those just general things. You're going to hate me. I can't be on the show. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to hate. Why would I hate you? No. He goes, I got rushed to the hospital in Hong Kong because I might have angina or anemia. And for all we know, it was another thing with an A or another letter. I don't know. I was trying to get back in touch with him. I hope he's okay. And I went, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? Imagine hating somebody because they go, like, oh, I promised to be on your show, but I'm in the hospital and they got tubes in me and they're testing me for everything from A to Z. I'm getting MRIs and LYJs and EMGs and AKGs and MMTs and LYLs. I mean, what? Come on. I know it's just a phrase. You're going to hate me, but. Imagine if I said, oh my God, you stinking, no good, rotten person. My, this is where hate originated. Moments like this. Anyway, in any event, in all events, certainly in this event, so it turned out like, oh my goodness, no, you get better. I said, but wait, do I know what that's like? Absolutely. I was rushed to the hospital in early February, you know, with mysterious things. Oh gosh. That was another Thursday shot. So things happen. And, you know, this has nothing to do with my age or how long I've been here or the technology or anything. This has to do with life itself. This is what happens. Things happen. Things go wrong. Things fall apart. Things also rise and sparkle. Things do all sorts of things. Things react all sorts of ways. And your life is affected by it. So that's what people used to do when I was a kid. Excuse me. And they used to do, they used to make sounds when they said stuff. It was like, not like the Victor Borge sounds. They weren't making, they were kind of punctuating things, but they were using a sound instead of a word. So they'd say like, and things happen like, yeah, they just make a sound, you know, as opposed to, I guess I could put a word in there like that. Just say like, things happen like that. Things happen like, eh, like me, ah. Because people are animals and they express themselves with sounds many times more clearly than with words. Maybe, because you know why? Because in general, people know more sounds than words. Think about it. You got the greatest vocabulary in the world. I wonder who has the greatest vocabulary in the world. There's not even a contest for that. But there are people with great vocabularies. Take George Will, the broadcaster and journalist, the super conservative, great guy though, great guy. And why, you just can't help but when you read this, you go, wow, does he not use words? Even though that doesn't mean you use big words. I mean, just using the right word, even if it's not the word you would use and most people would use in that situation. Anyway, guys like that who have great vocabularies, they don't get, and a great vocabulary doesn't mean the number of words you know. It means you know the way you know how to use the words you have. You know, so instead of saying like, I took a break all the time, you could say, I took a vacation or a hiatus, or you find a word, you know, I camped out instead of, that's not, you know what I mean? You know what I mean. The five words I hate the most as a response to what people say when I go, are you kidding? You know what I mean. Or if they can't express themselves. We know that. You've been here before. I'm back. I don't have to rehash everything I ever said in 598 shows. Do I? My name is Frank Cotolo. The man whose name adorns the title of the show. This is Cotolo Chronicles. I am chronicling, and I got any number of things to chronicle about. Kurt, we hope you're well. We hope you get well. And I could look and see if you're on Skype just to see. No, he's not. And I wrote to him and said, how are you? And I haven't heard from him, but I'm sure we will. Let me also tell you this. If you're listening live, if you're always listening live, if you're listening at all, we don't have a show for dead people. Not even on the dark web. Hey, a lot of talk about the dark web. And you know, we did it again. We did a great show. I don't know if it was this year or last year or what have you, about the dark web. And suddenly that pops up on this, the Comedy Central show. And that guy who is married to Natasha Bagasha, whatever her name is, he's suddenly the hottest thing. He has a show on the dark web. And we beat him to it. And then there was another special somewhere about the dark web. We are, let me tell you something about this show. And I'm not going to use it. It's not even a description of this show in the way everybody would say it. Like, oh, you're cutting edge. You know, talk about Kurt Brandow, who was here talking about this new website and that called Twitter. You know, he introduced it. Any number of things that happened here, talked about here first, even when internet radio wasn't so easily attainable. So let me tell you about that. And they do the dark web show. Now they do these dark web things. Not even on the dark web. We are Maybe we should be on the dark web. Did I have a radio station on the dark web? I don't know. We kind of went in there. We didn't really go in there. And I don't know why you would want to go either. It doesn't matter. For those of you who are listening right now, and that means, no, that's not right now, because then again, right? I mean, they're playing us twice a day over at True Talk Radio, where, by the way, which sponsors the Montreal Jewish News, where you could read my hilarious news reports, Political Pulp, it's called. There's always room for a plug and a thing that's because I, you know, there's all this stuff. You know what you like? You like dog garbage. They used to say in New York, you like dog turds. You're all over the place. What a wonderful way to say it, right? They can't say, oh, you like good pizza stores. You're all over the neighborhood. Right, no. They have to equate what you do and what me with turds. Yeah, New York. You stink. Okay, here we go. I was saying that on this day, you're listening, which is the 18th of May when we're recording this, as we record it and air it, and then you'll listen to it on other stations and you'll listen to it, okay? But if you're listening at this very moment, at 11 p.m., Savino Veritas, my ex-partner, I don't use the word ex anymore, my former partner, George Will, what would you say? I said, my partner. Yeah, partner in crime. That's what my father used to say. Hey, here's your partner in crime, that Tommy. Here's Tommy, your partner in crime. You know, my father actually didn't talk like that. But he's attained a character over the years. And I do his voice. Some of the people who believe in, you know, phantoms and ghosts and things would say, like, well, you know, you channel him. That's what he sounds like now. Really? That's what he sounds like now?
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
He didn't talk like that. But it had that. And I'll tell you one thing. He was deeper. I don't know where my high voice originated. I don't know. I'm my age. And here I am. Of course, this is the new 50, I hear. Uh-oh. And here I am, still with my tonsils. I mean, go figure. My name is Frank Atolo. The man's name adorns the title of the show. I'm going to talk to you about any number of things today because a whole bunch of stuff has been going on in the meantime. I want to say something about another little piece of fraud. It's a weird thing. You know, there's a lot of mail going out, and you might be getting it because you're on a list of some sort. Oh, this is, yeah, then we still have some topics now here on Cotolo Chronicles as we go into the second half of the first hour. Ba-dap, ba-dap, ba-dap. I don't even have a break thing. I'm not going to. Maybe we'll play stupid commercials, old stupid commercials. Oh, I know what I want to play. I see that. I just remembered it. Something from, I'm going to make a big note of this when it comes to I'll tell you the story and, here you go. See, I made, you know, I always make some notes, but, I'll tell you the story, which has to do with the trip to Louisville, but, and we'll play some commercials at the top of the hour from this particular place that I didn't know about. And it has a story to it, of course, not just going to play it because they're going to give me anything. There's a lot of things you get in the mail that are disguised as important documents, and they're disguised, they're ads, they're luring, what was it called when you're, go to a store and the thing is right in front of you. Just, I remember this from school marketing, from marketing in college and stuff. It's, I don't know. It's almost a bait and switch, this thing. And, you know, thank goodness you got your Snopes and you got lots of sources you could look up and find out if you have, something weird, you know, but I'm not going to tell you about one of them because I'm going to tell you about this one I have in my hand. There are more than this too, but here's what they do. And you know me, if you do know me, if you don't know me, this is part of me. I'm always willing to share with you something that may screw you, because I want to be hip on everything that's bad so that I know it when it comes my way. You know what I'm saying? Once or twice, if you're conned in this lifetime, is twice is too many times. One of my favorite mottos, I have many mottos. One of my favorite mottos is this. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on you. So, you're right? You should not be. There's no way. You gotta learn, find out what's happening, and as you know, might know or not know, when it, we broke open that Nigerian, it's now, I hate to use the word legendary, but I mean, it's because it's not a legend. It's something that happened in our lifetime, you know. I want to use the correct word. It's now widespread world, and everybody knows about that, and it's networked into other scams or what have you. And if you've listened to the show over the years, you know we've followed scammers and caught them doing this, that, and the other thing. But here's this new thing now. It comes, something you get in the mail that looks so official, you have to open it, and it comes in an official package. And you have to open it, and it says important, blah, blah, blah on it, and then you have to rip it apart. You know, you know when you fold it and rip it, and then you hold one side, and you pull another side, thumb notch, you thumb it out, and it comes out, and there's something in there. In this case, there's a business reply mail. No postage necessary. So this is a reply, return reply card, all right? And but this is what it said, and I'm not fooled, but the minute I get it, I go, what's this? Is this real? That's what immediately I say. Because they make this stuff look like you gotta open it, you gotta see it, and then they write in it, the print inside of it is something that will scare you into either replying, calling if they have a number or what have you. And then they got you. Okay? You could find out if any of these are real, but you still open it. You know, I open this. So I open this, even though it looks... It says, pre-sort U.S. postage paid permit 72. You know, when you see a permit and not a stamp, that right away is a red flag. That this is, because it means it was a mass mailing. So, you know, you're so important. You're one of a billion. Yes, you're one of the things they throw on a wall to see if it'll stick. And it's got, oh boy. Excuse me. This is, I told you it's going to happen. Left hand corner. This is the address. 325 Pennsylvania Avenue Southeast, Washington DC. You see Pennsylvania Avenue, and almost everyone knows. That's like, wow, that's the government. This is from the government. They immediately put you in a state of mind, that it's very sharp, you know, because they're not telling you. They're not saying we're from the government. They're not saying anything. But they put these, the form of it, the way it looks, the way you open it, as if you would get this official notice from some government agency or something, okay? And it says in the back, important projected Medicare changes. What's this now, right? So I open it up, and there's a postcard in here. As I said, it's a business reply mail, but it opens up to the side where there's print. And it says, important projected Medicare changes. Now, I've gotten mail from the Department of Health and all these people, the Department of Treasury and stuff like that, you know. And it's like, they don't send you a mail thing to tell you this change. There are official pages, you know. But and so you go, well, what is this? What are they talking about? I haven't heard anything about changes. I've heard talk. about this, that, and the other thing for Medicare, Medicaid, health, you know, because you know what's happening in general in the United States with health care. But this thing says, well, this is how it reads. Proposed cuts to existing government programs include a significant reduction in the federal Medicare program, which may result in an increase in premiums and fees that you must pay, and a decrease in some benefits. Now, that's so iffy. That is so could be, could not be. And yet, you read it, you take it out of here, you think it's official, at least a lot of people do. But, I mean, they get, you know, how far they get you with this. So you think, well, what's a scam, right? What's a scam? Sick of this crap. And this one is the one I'm using as a template this week, because I get this junk in the mail. Sometimes I call these people up, and I give them hell, if there's a number. Or I write back to them. You know, I've talked 100 times about writing letters. I write letters, find the address, write a letter back, and tell them horrible things about themselves. This says, this new cutback in the federal Medicare program means that you will become responsible for an even greater portion of your health care expenses, expenses that were previously paid by Medicare. For more information about these changes, right? They just told me these are dire, horrible things. There's a lot, big changes that affect you. You're going to be screwed, it said. But for more information, it says, how they will personally affect you and your present health care coverage, simply complete and return this postage paid card today. There will be no cost or obligation for this information. Also, designed for limited income families or fixed income seniors, a plan is available to help any, these are people who are selling the plans that insurance companies sell to people who have Medicare for the stuff that Medicare doesn't cover. Okay? Just so that you know if you ever have Social Security, what have you. Okay? But this thing, they want your number, their signature. They want you to sign this. You know, fat chance, don't sign anything. Anything at all that you have not a clue about, didn't ask to see, or whatever. All right? Don't do it. Just don't do it. Age, spouse, area, phone. What do you mean? Why are they, you're like, wait a second. Why are they asking me for area? My address is on the label. Right? And they want to know your phone. They want to know if you're married, of course, because that could mean you want two accounts. And your phone. Why? So they could call you, or so maybe they could steal your phone number. Whatever. It doesn't have a name of a company. It doesn't say anything. It says, we'll send you information if you give us all our information. Do not give out information to anyone who doesn't have the information or just has your number here. Because I was on the phone this week and I caught people. I painted them right into a corner. Why are you calling me if you're telling me this blah, blah, blah? They have no answer. They cannot answer you. They're looking for people who will not ask questions. They're looking for people who will not defy their, quote, authority, unquote. Just because they have a name, I'm the, listen to this, they have an address, the 325 Pennsylvania Avenue Southeast. We're official. You're official. Crap. You're crap. Whoever sent this thing out, I'm telling you right now, and I'm on this broadcasting thing here, throughout the world, and certainly throughout the United States of America, okay? You people are crap. This is just another ploy, and don't give your name. Don't give your Social Security number. You might know. You might go, well, I never give my Social Security number out to anyone. Okay, don't even give them your name. I always do this. I get tons of calls and I've been taking off tons of lists because of how I behave knowing these calls or taking these people for a ride, the ride they firmly deserve. And I happen to be in a situation where I could spend time doing that. And, you know, and listen, I did it again, and, right? Instead of saying something, I went, and, a sound, and, ah. Don't do it. Now I'm going to send a letter back to this address, and I'm going to say, you people are pigs. I'm going to say this. This is how I'm going to write. I'm not going to sign it because they take my, well, I could sign it. Yeah, I could sign anything. They have my address, doesn't matter. You don't even have to leave a return address. You people are pigs. You people are scum pigs. You people are, you know, because I guess the two things, you know, I'm not a campaigner. I'm not a for these things. I'm not a goody two shoes, goody three shoes, or goody four shoes. I don't even have four shoes. Yes, I do. I have four shoes. I recently got a pair of shoes for $5. That's another story altogether. My point is this. When people come at you, here's my point. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on you. Should not happen. And this is how I get off of lists. And I told you a couple of weeks ago, if you remember, I told you about the telephone calls they're making now where they're trying to get your voice graft. I said graft. Graft is, that's different. That's not, it's a completely different word. They want you to say hello and ignite something, ignite another robo moment. Well, in other words, they call you and they call, what I told you about the calls that are robo calls, but they make it sound like they're really there. Because of course we have this high tech recording now, so it could sound like the voice is there over the phone. It doesn't have to sound like a recording. So you go hello, because everybody answers the phone hello. I'm saying this again since you might not have been here. And you say, so you go hello, and that ignites the voice. Hi, I'm Bob from Atmosphere Technologies. Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me okay? The voice is looking for a response. And because that is such a common thing to go, can you hear me now? Can you hear me where I am? You know, because he might be on some kind of phone. So you think he's alive. He's not alive. And you go, sure, I can hear you. And as soon as you finish whatever you're saying, he'll go, good. Because what I want to tell you about is if you punch one and you get, okay, they're going to get you, suck you in. You're going to punch one. You're going to hit one. You're going to get something. They'll ask you for a question. They'll ask you a question. They'll get your voice graph. They'll also ask you information. They'll get everything they can out of you while you're there. And they're not even alive. If you keep talking, you'll notice a lot of these machines, these robocalls, they don't respond the same way. But they have little ways of doing it. And I know this because, I mean, I knew of this from a long time ago when I used to do things like we used to pretend. Pretend is the good word. We used to recreate a show as if it was live on radio. And you could do it right down to the moment that you have to tell the time. Because you could have all the necessary information available and queued, but somebody had to run it, okay? So you could say, it's 9:47 in Texas, and there's nobody there but a voice. But that voice always says it's 9:47. But there are also another, you know, 100 or 200, however long the person's on, recordings. It's 9:50. You hit that one when it's 9:50. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so I know that. So these robocalls, as I was telling you, is just one more way of trying to screw you badly. So I will tell you what happens. These people never write back anyway, but I get the satisfaction of sending things to them. And I'm still sending wild, crazy responses to the NRA, who I don't know why the NRA got in touch with me, but I have been sending them the craziest, wackiest cartoon on their own stationery. So I don't know what happens to them. What are you going to do to you? They're going to do nothing to you. You know, they'll go, this guy is nuts. And what do you need? You think you're going to go to a job somewhere and they're going to go, wait a second, we have it on record. You know, they talk about the internet. Yeah, we have a picture of your ass on the internet right here. And you and I can see your face, too. And, you know, it's on Photoshop. That's, you know, it's not like, oh, yeah, you're the guy who sent the NRA all those cartoon responses. We don't want you working here. All right, I'm in a situation where I have to worry about that. But that's, you know, Oh boy. So anyway, I spent a lot of time on that, but it deserved it. I don't want you people getting, and I want you to stand up and say something. I want you to yell at these people on the phone. Here's a way. Sometimes they, you know, they wait for you to say hello. You get a phone call. You look at the, sometimes it says anonymous or it says some Cleveland, Ohio. I don't know anybody in Cleveland, Ohio. Always calling me in Cleveland, Ohio. And there's a number there. You pick it up and nothing happens because they're waiting for you to say hello because that will ignite the robo talk. I have honey in the coffee. Honey, it comes in little plastic bears. I guess bears and honey, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean. So they wait. Now, what I do is I do things like this. Speaking of sounds, people know what sounds and words, right? I do this. I don't hear anything. I pick it up and I go, see that I don't want them to even, I don't want, not don't, only don't I want to ignite the robocall. Or even if it's a real person, sometimes they do have real people do telemarketers do call. I don't want them to get my real voice, which they could get just by hello, and I could just get it. So I disguise my voice or I make a sound. And I do a thing. I had two of them today. One of them picks up, and I pick it up. I don't know the number. I see the number. I don't know the number. I know it's going to be. And I just went like this. Now that could be, I don't, that could be my voice. I'm going to do a grab and go, hear that sound? That's Frank Catola. No, I don't think so. I don't think any, yeah, I don't think so. Or I go, you know, if you act, I've told this story, I'm not the story I'm going to tell, I'm not going to tell the story, but I've told you that crazy people or people who want to screw you out of something, even if they are crazy, if you can step it up and be a little crazier, they don't want anything to do with you. And I can't get your confidence if they think you're nuttier than them. They want normal people. People who have a problem saying no. People who want to be polite. They don't want some Clyde like me getting on the phone going, what do you want from me? Which is what I do. Or, we make weird sounds, or just go, or do a beat. Boom, 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 right? What are they going to do? Hey, we got a voice graph here today. It's really, it's got to be Catola. Listen, boom, 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 boom. No, not going to work. What are you worried about? You're going to look dumb? Think about it. No, and you know, ultimately, these people will have incredible respect for you. They'll wipe you off their list. For one, they won't even be bothered with those calls anymore. I'm going to tell you a couple of things. We're coming up to the middle. Middle? The middle? Yeah, it would be the middle of the show. Yeah, it would be the middle of the show. Yeah, that's it. It would be the middle of the show. I'm going to, and move this over here. I'm going to get something. and I'll tell you the story behind it after we finish. There you go. Before, when we do the halftime, coming out of our usual little blah, 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 little thing there, I'm going to play the commercial and we'll tell you, I'll tell you the story about it. And you'll learn something too, about something. Learn something about something. If I tell you exactly what that might be, I not only lost the tease, but you don't get it. You don't get it. Now I'm looking for this thing that says, okay, what this is going to be. This thing that says what this is going to be. Okay, here you go. I got that thing with my, still a lingering, the lingering. Whispering pines, is that it? We don't need but my mind. Whispering, what was that? Whispering pines, cause the birds don't need to know. I don't know, I forgot it. My name is Frank Catola, man whose name adorns the title of the show. I've gone through a whole hour now. I've been told you to buy one of my books. Isn't that something? Buy my books. And soon, excuse me, I keep saying excuse me because I want to be polite. I'll eventually stop being polite. I'm eventually get some really big news about stuff, books and me and stuff, but I'm not going to say anything to anybody. There are books you can buy that you know where to find them. The Molotov Memoirs books are great. Two of them. And all these are available in digital form. The Lulu.com. Those little chat books that are wonderful. They're funny. They're amusing. And there's typos. But what the hell? There's a couple of essays, books on there, of course. And then Amazon. Come on, Amazon. License to Skill. Sweet Shepherd. Man of La Mantra. These are books that they're just great. I know, people have told me this. I don't release anything or put anything out that I don't think represents the voice of me, Frank Atolo. And we're also going to have news coming up, not shortly tonight, that's for sure. Let me see if I got a text back from where I thought. Nope, okay. Because I was thinking, doing something else. Also for the second half of the show, but let me say this, and I'm going to say it. Don't, you can let me. I don't need your permission. I'll just say it. I just say it. There's another thing. Let me say this. Without further ado, let me say this. You know, like radio crap. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your face be shunned. Let me just say that you can go get those books, and they're wonderful, and they're all available in digital, and sooner or later I'm going to tell you about other stuff. Something big and beautiful for all of us. Right, a contribution to mankind in writing by me, Frank Atolo. Those are all the things you could do. You know, you can also show, you know, if you get a craving like, oh my God, Eric Atolo Chronicles today. I can't wait till Thursday. Go over to juicedtalk.com. Those archives are growing, even with a week or two here and there unavailable for broadcast. Plenty of stuff going on there. And every day, you got your smartphone, you get over to True Talk Radio. Twice a day, go check the schedule out. Atolo Chronicles is running there. I mean, bless those people. We've been with them for so long, and they just love us to smithereens, and we love them to smithereens. It's testimony to how people who are one-minded and another-minded, it's testimony to how people get together and work together and do great things together. Dun, da, da, da. You know what I never did either? I never talked. Maybe we'll do that next time. I don't know. Ants on caffeine? Did you say ants on caffeine? Yes, I did. I made a note. I got notes here. There's plenty of things we need to talk about. We don't need to. Hold on. Whoa, a sneeze. How can you still be sneezing a week after the cold? My mother used to say, be careful you don't get a cold on top of that cold. Colds? You're kidding me. Colds mount on one another? They grow. You can get two colds at once. Just as one is leaving, in comes another cold. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'll save you from help, says the other cold. I'll come in and get reinforcements of the cold. As a relapse. Do you remember a relapse? That's what they call it. Relapse. Not a relapse. This is a relapse. It's another cold coming in to help the first cold. Now you got a double cold. That first cold that you're trying to get rid of the first cold, and the other cold comes in to make sure that cold doesn't die. Now I know this doesn't sound technical or academic in terms of medical talk, but let me ask you something. Do you think I care? No. I explain it to you as I said. We are not the cutting edge. We are the space between the cutting edges. That is Atolo Chronicles. We are the space between the cutting edges. No other show does that. No other show that is streamed from AM radio, FM radio, ham radio. What kind of radios are there? Any of those. Only this show. The space between the cutting edges. So if someone gets on, you get a podcast or something and they go like, this is cutting edge stuff. Meanwhile, that's cutting edge. They rehearsed it or they scripted it and they're not giving you themselves. I give you shamelessly myself, of myself, by myself, and for myself. So, for the spaces between the cutting edges, it's me, Frank Atollo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. I got some more to tell you about because we have another hour, and that's coming up right after this.
The Toll of Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world.
Bread may not seem to be all that exciting, until you consider all the things it's good for.
That's what I said, bunny bread. That's what I said, bunny bread. And now this word from the magic lunch. Isn't that, come on, you got it? Play.
Once upon a time, a boy wanted a magic lunch.
Something to amaze my friends.
So his mother conjured up an idea. She'd get him a bunny to pull out of his lunchbox. She made him a bunny bread sandwich. So soft, so good, so full of energy. And what do you think happened? Yeah.
My sandwich disappeared.
Well, sure. The moral of the story is, with bunny bread, it's hair today and gone tomorrow.
Hair.
That's what I said, bunny bread.
That's what I said, bunny bread. Well, bunny bread. Yes, we have one more. We have two more bunny bread commercials right now here on Cotolo Chronicles. Here comes another bunny bread. More about bunny bread. If you don't know about it, then I'll tell you where I learned about bunny bread.
And why did you choose bunny bread, little boy?
Well, I've heard about the rest, but bunny bread's still the best. It's got the best flavor. Bunny bread's special formula ensures its famous flavor.
Famous flavor. Bunny bread has famous flavor. Not like it's white bread, but famous. Here's more bunny bread endorsements coming up right now. Here it comes. Bunny bread hits the spot.
At a party or a picnic, yeah. Or while you watch TV, a sandwich made with bunny bread hits the spot with me.
With you.
That's what I said. Bunny bread.
That's what I said, bunny bread. You know, if you're anywhere in, and it's going to sound like I'm going into a commercial, but this is true. How do I know about bunny bread? Before my trip to Louisville, I did not know about bunny bread. And, mind you, I lived in the South for a while. So this is not necessarily a Southern thing. But while in a Cracker Barrel restaurant, and Cracker Barrel is now not nowhere near just a Southern franchise. It's a franchise that's everywhere. So, Cracker Barrel's in the North and the East and the West and whatever in the United States. For all I know, it's in Spain. I don't know. I have no idea. But we're sitting in the, ouch, my glasses. We're sitting in the bunny, no, we're sitting in Cracker Barrel And I'm wondering, and looking around after getting making an order, I'm looking around, and I said, "What? You notice all these places have these things on the wall? They're things. They're just things that are on the wall. There are pictures, photographs, old photographs. There is tools." You know, stuff that relates to, I don't know, the South. I have no idea. I never asked. I never thought about it. And they have all these pictures. They even have old, well, they all look old. I'm saying, you know, I don't know if these things are real. Who knows if these are real? All these objects they put on the walls of these Cracker Barrel restaurants. And I don't ever remember seeing different. No, I don't ever remember seeing the same things. Now that I mention, I'm going like, wait, I never saw this before. I guess they have different things they put on the walls at random. And they just get all this junk, and it's probably not even authentic. Well, I decide to talk to the manager. But first, I see an advertisement in a frame for Bunny Bread. It looks like a regular loaf of bread where you might see Tasty, right? The Tasty Bread, Wonder Bread, the various makes, brand names that you know. And I looked up and I went, that's a bunny. There's no such thing as Bunny Bread. That's gotta be fake. Bunny Bread? Never heard of it. So now I'm completely convinced. Which it should never be completely, you hear that? Place is getting creaky. You should never be completely convinced of anything. You always should look into it. And I said, you know, by golly, it's once and for all. I'm going to find out about the gosh damn crap. Gosh damn. That's my father's way of saying God damn, but he said, gosh damn it. The gosh damn things that they hang from the walls of Cracker Barrels across this great nation of ours. So I went to the manager. Well, at first I went to the lovely Asia, was the name of our waitress, Asia. In the South, and in Kentucky, of course, this is the South. In the South, I think you're allowed to hire people to be waitresses. You'll have to get a job if you're like 12, I think, to be a waitress. I don't even know about that, and I'm not going into it. And it doesn't matter. That's not the crux of this particular monologue. So I went to over, I said, hey, hello there. Hey, Clyde. I call him Clyde. You know, boy, I put my life in my hands sometimes. And the guy, you know, but he's got, you know what? You got it over the guy, the manager of the place. Unless you say, hey, scumbag, you know, he's going to turn and go, excuse me. He's still going to try to be polite. So I called him Clyde. I have no idea where Clyde came from in my head or what it has to do with people in the South. They have a very rich, thick, wonderful Southern accent. He had. My accents I'm used to because, as I said, I lived in the South for a while. So he said, yes, sir. You know, and I said, let me ask you a question about all this junk that's on the walls. Now, immediately, he's like, well, you ain't from Alabama. When you speak like that, well, I'm not. And it's none of your gosh damn business where I'm from, is it now? Yeah, okay. He said, but, and I'm imitating him rather well. I think probably better than he can imitate me. Not the point. The point is, I said, what is all this stuff on these walls? I've been to Cracker Barrels from here past the Mississippi. I didn't say it like that. I wasn't making fun of the guy in front of his head. I said, I've been to these places all over the place. Places all over the place. Cracker Barrels always have this stuff on the wall. It's always different stuff. And what is this? Can't all be real. What does this have to do with anything? What's Bunny Bread? I said, for instance. And Clyde said to me, I'm going to keep calling him Clyde. There's nothing wrong with Clyde. Okay. Like Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie and Clyde. Is that what I was thinking of? Bonnie and Clyde? Clyde Barrow? Was he Southern? Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Clyde comes to my head. And he said, oh yeah. He said, these things are all indigenous to the area. And I went, wait a second. You mean to tell me, it's like, boy, you know, when you grow up watching movies, not even television, just movies, those old movies, I mean, 30s and 40s, where people always have that extra bit of something to say. Do you mean to tell me? As opposed to just asking the question. I said, wait a second. Wait, first of all, I tell him, hold on. Do you mean to tell me? Which is what he just told me. Do you mean to tell me that these are authentic things on this wall and they are indigenous to Louisville? Well, he said, not, you know, to basically Kentucky. But yes, he said, there are things here that are, he didn't say indigenous. Maybe he didn't understand what, but he understood it. He said, they're things that relate to this area. I said, is that what they do? I said, what about bunny bread? And he said to me, oh, but yeah, bunny bread. I was raised on bunny bread. That's what I said. Bunny bread. I didn't know at the time because I hadn't looked it up until I, you know, we got back to our room and looked up our, and I looked on my iPad and I get a pad now. I get an iTab now. Didn't I tell you that? No, I didn't, but it doesn't matter. And looked it up on phones and things, you know, and that's where I just heard. I mean, that's where I heard. That's where I got the various, things that I just, showed you here about bunny bread. So, you know, when,
at a party or a picnic, so there, or while you watch TV, a sandwich made with bunny bread.
It's the spot with me.
Yeah. That's what I said.
That's what I said. Bunny bread. So he said, you know, I grew up with that bunny bread. And I went, so that, he said, so this, in this area? Yes, bunny bread in Louisville, and I imagine around that area, is indigenous. That's the brand they use there. That's the what brand of white bread. Only it's got this, well, and this must go way back, because the bunny that adorns the package is a badly drawn 1950s cartoon thing. It's, you know, but it's become the insignia of bunny bread. But more interesting than that was the fact that they're everything on the wall. So I said, okay, what about the bunny bread, Clyde? But he goes, come here, I want to show you something. Come here. I followed him. Come here. Come on. Hey. So I follow him into the next room. He goes, see up there on that wall? Shows me the wall. Points to it. Yeah. I'm not going to imitate him. I'm just going to tell you. He tells me that what's on the wall is actual tools and pieces of barrels. Barrels. Tools to make a barrel. The barrels that will hold bourbon. Now, talk about indigenous. You know, you don't go anywhere in Louisville or in Kentucky per se. Known for its bourbon. Known for its aged bourbon. Bourbon aged in fine barrels. Barrel bourbon. That's what I said. Bourbon and barrels. Like bees. Bunny bread and barrel bourbon. I'm going to sell some bunny bread and bourbon. He said, now that's something you won't see in any Cracker Barrel outside of Kentucky. So the deal is this. Something, anything that's on the walls of a Cracker Barrel restaurant, wherever you are, wherever you go, look closely. History of that region is hanging from the walls around you. And there's probably a story behind each one of those things. And if you don't know them, ask. Ask Clyde. There's a Clyde in every Cracker Barrel. Hey, Clyde. And they should know too, because the managers know all that stuff. You know, the sweet, sweet young girls and boys who serve you don't know. Unless, of course, they would know. I like bunny bread. I take bunny bread. I love bunny bread. You know, that's what I said. That's bunny bread. When I left that evening, I was singing. No, I wasn't, because I didn't even know the song. But if I ever go back to Kentucky, oh, to be home again, back in, oh, that's Virginia. That doesn't work at all. Oh, the sun shines bright on my old Kentucky home, where my bunny bread comes out in loaves. You find out, but if you live anywhere else, you can't get bunny bread. Find out, you know, yeah, and here's a funny thing, another funny thing about this entire thing I'm talking about. YouTube has a bunny bread page. That's where I got these commercials, which date back to God knows when. And it says, that's what I said, bunny bread, with the whole musical clef and everything. And Bunny, Bunny the Bunny. They couldn't even find a name for this guy. He's Bunny the Bunny of Bunny Bread. I'm Bunny the Bunny. He doesn't have a voice or anything. Current location, United States. So this is where I'm located. And there's four commercials here. There's nothing about it. It doesn't. This is the official YouTube page of Bunny Bread, baked by Lewis Bakeries. Whether you grew up on Bunny Bread or are just getting to know, show more. Oh, wait, there's more here. Show, or guest getting to know us, feel free to check out our past commercials. Anybody have any new commercials? We didn't find, we didn't look very deeply into the city or areas for, you know, that's not why we were there. We weren't on any particularly focused cultural trip. But we learned about bunny bread and these horrible commercials. That's what I said. That's bunny bread. You know, back in those days, they didn't get, you know, they just wanted to get catchy. And that's catchy. Now, these bunny bread commercials, they had 7,000 views on one of them. 3 years ago, I guess is when they, 4,000 on another, 2,000 on another, 7,383 views on bunny bread. Oh, there's more? Oh my goodness, there's more. I didn't even know that. Look at the caveman toast. Let's do the caveman toast. There's more here. Here comes the caveman toast. Let's see what this is all about here. Bunny bread. They have their own YouTube page. Unbelievable.
At breakfast, everybody likes the crispy taste of toast. With fresh and wholesome bunny bread, your toast will taste the most. That's what I said. Bunny bread.
They show a caveman. And you can see these on the bunny bread. I know I'm doing a commercial, but... not really. I'm telling you something here. This is pop culture. This is socially relevant, my friends. Let's get to another. I don't want to hear all of them. I didn't even know these ones. The Bunny Halloween Donuts. Bunny makes other things, too. Not just white bread. I'll give you the whole rundown. But here's Bunny Halloween Donuts. And this probably has a song to it, too. Here it comes.
Witches and goblins and pixies and sprites are out making mischief this Halloween night. They're haunting each house for a trick or a treat. And the treat goes like most is a goodie to me.
Bunny donuts. All kinds of non-ghostly folks love a bunny donut treat anytime.
All kinds of non-ghostly people love bunny donuts. What does a bunny have to do with baking? Yeah. Where do these things originate? Lewis Bakeries? Why isn't it the Lewis Bakery? Let's find the next one, because there's at least two more here. And I want, nope, there's one. Oh, here's Bunny Fax Machine. Where does it go? That's what I said. It's bunny bread. Bunny Fax Machine. Where does it go? That's what it says here when you read it. This one's 42 seconds. It's going to go a while, this one. It's got a long lead in, I tell you. Here we go.
Bunny Bread presents Amazing Facts.
Amazing Facts.
Hi, breadheads. Anyone know what happens to bread once you eat it? Let's see if the Bunny Fax Machine knows.
After bread goes to your stomach, the nutrients go to your muscles, bones, blood, and nervous system to help you grow and give you energy.
Wow, with all that work to do, I better eat another slice.
Another Bunny Bread Amazing Facts.
That's what I said.
The bunny has life in this, and he's nowhere near as wonderful as Crusader Rabbit, who I grew up loving to. And Lucille Bliss, the fabulous voice of Lucille Bliss. This is just some guy being the bunny. But the bunny in this commercial, which was in color, you get amazing facts. Here's what happens to bread after you eat it. Here's what happens to bread after you eat it. You get to hear the guy, though. You get to hear the bunny. Here's his voice.
Hi, breadheads. Hi, breadheads.
I'm imitating him. I learned how to do bunny. This is another one of my vagrant imitations that will make no sense to anybody. Okay? Hey, I do the bunny in the bunny bread commercials, and people go, what? What? Listen to this. Listen to this voice to this guy, the bunny.
Hi, breadheads.
Hi, breadheads. Breadheads. Okay? Hi, breadheads.
Hi, breadheads.
Hi, breadheads.
Anyone know what happens to bread once you eat it?
Hey, breadheads.
Anyone know what happens to bread once you eat it?
Hey, breadheads.
Hi, breadhead. Hi, breadheads. Hi, breadheads. Hi, breadheads. Hi, breadheads. Hi, breadheads.
I make a loop.
Hi, breadheads.
Okay, what?
Anyone know what happens to bread once you eat it?
Yeah, it turns into horrible stuff that you let out. Oh, God, go. Tell us, bunny.
Let's see if the bunny fax machine knows.
But wait a second. There's a fax machine, and that's what it is. Fax, F-A-C-T-S, not a fax machine. There's a bunny fax machine. The bunny, who represents the bread, has a fax machine. Okay, let's see if he knows. Okay. Come on, tell us. That's
the machine knows.
After bread goes to your stomach, the nutrients go to your muscles, bones, blood, and nervous system to help you grow and give you energy.
Okay, this is what happens. Okay, kids? That's what I said. Oh, good gracious, I gotta tell you.
Wow, with all that work to do, I better eat another slice.
Another bunny bread amazing pack.
That's what I said. Bunny bread.
That's what I said. Bunny bread. Do 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 do. Do. Okay. The bunny has a voice. Hey, breadheads. I got to write that one down because I can't, you know, the bunny, and that's his name, Bunny. They didn't say, you know, it's not like Bobby Bunny or anything. Hey, breadheads. There's one. Breadheads. Hey, breadheads. Oh, my God. Are there any more bread? Let me see if there's any more bunny commercials here. Is that the last one? No, there's more. Holy Christmas. Oh, because you know what? Bunny fax machine. Where does bread come from? They're going to learn all this stuff now just because of this. Where does bread come from? Does anyone know? Bunny fax machine will tell us right now. Where comes from bread? Or where? What bread?
Bunny bread presents amazing.
More amazing facts.
Hey, breadheads, you know where bread comes from? It doesn't grow on trees. Let's ask the bunny fax machine.
Bread comes from wheat, which grows in fields. Wheat is ground into flour and mixed with yeast, water, sugar, vegetable oil, plus vitamins and minerals.
Bread may not grow on trees, but it's good for growing kids.
Another bunny bread amazing fact.
That's what I said. Bread.
You know, bread may not grow on trees, but it helps kids grow. Has this company ever gotten more attention at all? I don't know if it has, but so they got into that fax machine thing. And I'll tell you here's Eat Right. How you can eat right, kids, on this one. Because bunny bread has all sorts of things. Donuts. These are all great. Donuts, cakes, buns. It has buns or hot dog buns and things. What is this?
Bunny one? Bread yeah. Presents amazing.
Amazing. What a
Hi,
campaign.
Breadheads. You
Hi,
know what breadheads. You want to eat right, but do you know how? Let's see if the bunny backs.
Let's get him
right, but do you know how?
Hi, Let's see if the. Hi, breadheads.
What's important to eat right, but do you know how?
Wait, come on.
Hi, breadheads. You know what's important. Breadheads. You know what's important to eat.
Let's get him again.
Yeah. Hi, breadheads. Hi, breadheads. Hi, breadheads. You know. Hi, breadheads. Hi, breadheads.
I get a kick out of doing that. What can I tell you? It's annoying. It's ridiculous. But there it is. Let's see of this amazing fact. Let's listen.
You know it's important to eat right, but do you know how? Let's see if the bunny fax machine knows.
Here's the eating right chart. It shows bread, rice, cereals, and pasta as the base for a healthy diet. Add vegetables.
Wait a second. Bread? All the white flour stuff, which is no good. Wait, listen.
Base for a healthy diet.
Wait. Here is.
Rice, cereals, and pasta.
Wait.
Goes bread, rice, cereals, and pasta.
Bread, rice, these are all things that just turn into sugar, right? You know, and now everybody wants whole wheat. Don't get the white. But meanwhile, they're saying that's it. These are the things plus vegetables, and vegetables. Listen.
It shows bread, rice, cereals, and pasta as the base for a healthy diet.
That's a base.
Add vegetables, fruit, dairy, and meat before sweets.
Wow.
I'm glad I didn't see rabbit on that list. Just bunny bread.
I'm glad I didn't see rabbit on that list. You don't want to be eating rodents. Do you? Do you, breadheads?
Another Bunny Bread amazing fact.
Just Bunny Bread.
I'm
Rabbit on that list.
Yeah, I'm glad it's...
Didn't see Rabbit on that list. Just Bunny Bread. Rabbit on that list.
You didn't see Rabbit on that list.
Another Bunny Bread amazing fact.
That's what I said.
Bunny Bread. Okay, there's your Bunny Bread for that one. Boy, I had no, you know, I had no idea this was so deep. This is a deep state of bike. What does a bike have to do with Bunny Bread? I'm just into this now, so you're going to have to come along with me here on Cotola Chronicles. Bunny Fax Machine Bike. It says bike. What does that mean? We're going to find out here in a moment. Bike?
Bunny Bread presents Amazing Facts.
Okay.
Hi, breadheads. Which meal is the most important meal of the day? Let's ask the Bunny Facts Machine.
Breakfast is the most important meal. No breakfast is like riding your bike without air in the tires. Oh. You can't go very fast or very far.
Keep your body's wheels moving. Eat a well-rounded breakfast, including toast.
Another Bunny Bread Amazing Fact.
That's what I said.
Bunny Bread. Health facts from the Little Bakeries. But is that all? Come on. Is that it? No, there's more? No, that's it. The bike was the last one. Hey, breadheads. And I think I'm doing a good imitation too. Hey, breadheads. Now I do the bunny. Bunny from Bunny Bread. He's got a fax machine with facts, even though they spell it F-A-X. Lewis Bakeries. I'm sure it's good bread. And as I told you, if you go to the, if you look them up on the website, you'll find they got every bread product there. I even think they make wheat bread. Bunny probably baked wheat bread as time went on. Cause I don't know when it started. It just looks like it must have started in the, I don't know, 30s, 40s. No, 47, I think. Yes. Now that I mention it, I think it, but anyway, you also learn, not that I learned about Bunny Bread because you don't even know you can buy it. You don't have it or whatever, wherever you live, but you also learn that Cracker Barrel, which might be a place where you go here and there, would have bunny, would, oh, Cracker Barrel will have indigenous objects hanging from the walls as decoration. So ask about them. Ask your Clyde the manager. Oh, can I see Clyde the manager? Call him anything you want. Call him Martin. I don't know. Call him Bartholomew. I don't know. Whatever you want to call him. Just, or sir. Excuse me, sir. Fascinating. My name is Frank Cotola. Man's name adorns the title of the show. We're here on Cotola Chronicles. And we're on here just before who? Before, here I go again. Before Thomas Savino shows up for Savino Veritas at 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock. See, there's real New York. At 11 o'clock, I'm supposed to do it like, that's what I said, Bunny Bread. I'm going to call everybody on this, on breadheads. How about everybody who listens to Cotola Chronicles? Are you crony heads? I don't know, what would you call them, huh? Breadheads. Hi, breadheads. I mean, they couldn't find anybody who had a more distinct voice because I didn't even try to imitate that voice and it came right out. And I'm not good at that stuff. As I told you, I have, my imitations last like, 2-3 seconds, because I can only do specific things. I can't take a character and just do them forever. Although, I might have found one with Bunny. That's what I said, Bunny Bread.
Hey, breadheads!
Now I'm into that? I don't know. I had no idea there were that many commercials. But you did learn a little something there that we told you and found out here on Cotola Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotola. Man's name adjoins the title of the show, as I told you, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Savino Veritas will be here. It will be here. You will come here. We will be here with a moose and rabbit. You see, now there's Boris Badenoff. I can't do Boris Badenoff a little bit, but mostly I go here, moose and rabbit. No, moose, it's not moose and squirrel. What am I saying? Rabbit. Now I've got rabbit on the back of bunny on the brain. Bunny. Hey, bedheads. I got bunny bread on the brain. I meant to say, moose and squirrel. Moose and squirrel. Boar is bad enough. Oh, boy. I'm telling you, I really revere some of the great things about pop culture. And the Bullwinkle situation was definitely one of them. What have we done? What have we done? Was there anything else we needed to do other than that? I wanted to tell you about something else here, too. There are so this was funny. And this is not a Kentucky thing. Getting to Kentucky, of course, from where I am in the United States, means traveling the length of Pennsylvania, which is a very, very big and long state. Not as long from east to west as Tennessee, and it doesn't border as many states, but to get to Kentucky, you got to go across the entire place. So you got to go through Pittsburgh, and then you get a little bit into, you get, then you visit a little bit of West Virginia, then you go to Ohio, and then you go to Kentucky. A lot of that. But I didn't know about this. You know, as you go along and as you travel along America, and you know, with the summer coming up and a lot of you people taking long trips, maybe you, there's always places to see, but there are some hilarious places to see. They're hilarious to me. Okay. And I do not know, I did not know some of these places exist. And the great thing about traveling in any country, in any provinces or states or anything, is keep your eyes open and ask questions. Find your Clyde who knows anything and you'll learn stuff. In these days of franchises where places, businesses and rest, you know, when they... franchise themselves and they wind up going to different cities. For instance, when I lived in the South, well, they had Waffle House in Tennessee. That was it. That wasn't it. They had other restaurants. I'm just saying though, you know, in the South there was Waffle. Now you got a Waffle House. Past the Mason-Dixon line, there are Waffle Houses everywhere. There was a time when IHOP, which is now called IHOP, that's changed. The International House of Pancakes. By the way, it was never international. This is true. When I was in England any number of times and for any length of time, and it was very too much longer. Very too much longer. No, what I mean is this. An international house of pancakes leads you to believe that anywhere you go on the globe, there's going to be a house of pancakes. There's no national house of pancakes. There's no particular, like, the French. This is the, you go to Paris. Welcome to the French House of Pancakes. They're only crepes, and they are very thin. No pancakes, but we call them pancakes. But we make crepes, right? So there's not a French House of Pancakes, a Spanish House of Pancakes, a German House of Pancakes. Keep going. There's not a Mexican House of Pancakes. It's not a Canadian House of Pancakes. There's the International House of Pancakes. International House of Pancakes. And yet, try to get a pancake. You know, these days, and I don't know this because it's been ages since I've been in Great Britain. But when I was in Great Britain, there was no way you were getting a pancake for breakfast. A pancake is so intrinsically American, you just can't get it. And yet they call it the International House of Pancakes. International House of Pancakes. International House of Pancakes. Why did I bring that up? It's just another misleading thing. I don't know. They call it IHOP now too. But there are many things that you, well, I mean, that used to be only, I guess, I don't know. Was it only in Long Island or something? I don't know. But now, so it was international even before it went out to other states. But there are places, and you know, wherever you stop, especially the places where you stop, the rest stops that are on turnpikes. Take the Pennsylvania Turnpike, you stop at any number of these rest stops that have, you know, six or seven restaurants in them, a whole bunch of bathrooms, in which you have to have, you know, and well, along with the people who constantly clean them. This is where you might catch a lot of it. I don't care how much you wash your hands. You don't know. Oh, they're clean. I'm not saying they're filthy, but it's pretty difficult to keep them, you know, what's the word? Germless? Germless is not the word I'm looking for, you know, completely pristine and germless. It's not germless. It's not what I'm looking to say. I'm not going to waste any more time. But, you know, they have these counters, or the shelves, And you walk in and walk out, and there are all these brochures and places where you go, visit the deep, dark iron caverns. Deep, the dark. This is the dark net. There's no dark net. There's no brochure for the dark net. But there are still places. Oh, that was, I said places, and it wound up on my, oh, that's, hold on a second. Let me just, I don't have tissue, so I'll use an old piece of paper.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Still got. God. There you go with the God. I still have mucus and things and stuff. So here's something that was just fascinating. Someone handed this to me and said, I knew you would like this. So who would have thunk this was available? If you're ever traveling in Pennsylvania, or if you're in, is that New York? Wait a second. I don't even know my own map. Yeah, New York is New York, but Pennsylvania, you go north of Pennsylvania, you get to New York, right? New York State. If you travel on 219 north, you get off 80 or you get off the turnpike. What's the, no, the turnpike is, what is the turnpike? 80? No. Well, anyway. How can the turnpike be 79 that goes north and south? Okay, look, don't worry about it. Here's my point. Here's a brochure, free to visit, explore history today. It reads, it's the Zippo Case Museum. That's right. We're not talking about the lost Marx brother here. The Zippo Case Museum. Zippo, of course, from 19... Zippo is the very famous... Lighter, the metal lighter to light cigarette, anything. You light anything. Anything was made to light cigarettes, of course, when cigarettes was a huge thing. It's not no huge anymore. And cigars or whatever. The Zippo lighter. Well, there's a Zippo / Case Museum. Now, what is the Zippo / Case Museum? Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's celebrating 20 years it's been there in where? Bradford, Pennsylvania, on the border of Pennsylvania and New York. The Zippo Case Museum, there's a picture. What is Case, though? Is that a... Case makes like Swiss knives. Is that what a case knife? Yeah, it's kind of a... Yes, Case makes knives. And they couldn't just have a Zippo Museum. They had to partner with Case... who makes those pocket knives, 20 years, open every day, free to visit, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., and it's on, listen, they built it in a place that, and it was, they built it, it's at 1932 Zippo Drive. They named the road after the lighter in Bradford, Connecticut. ZippoCaseMuseum.com. I'm not kidding you. This is a, it's not a brochure. It's a, because there's not enough to write in a brochure. There's only one page. Well, it's two pages. There's a front and a back. Glossy. Listen to the, I'll read you the little paragraph they have here. Join thousands of enthusiasts from across the globe who've made the Zippo Case Museum a destination. Thousands of, I did not, did who, does anyone, please, does anyone know this existed? Anyone? Anyone listening to this show? Do you know anyone who knows someone who might know somebody? It says, join thousands of enthusiasts. Oh, look, it's a museum for the cigarette lighters and pocket knives. Well, how do those two things go together anyway? Maybe someone who smokes always had a pocket knife. I don't think that worked out too. Join thousands of enthusiasts from across the globe who've made the Zippo Case Museum a destination. They've made it a destination. You're going cross country? Yeah. What's your first stop? Well, the first destination is Bradford. You going to the Zippo Case Museum? You betcha. Experience the rich history of two American icons, Zippo windproof lighters and Case knives. two American icons. It's not just Zippo, it's not just a lighter. It's the Zippo windproof lighter. If the eternal flame turns out to be a hoax, and I'm talking about the flame that rests above the gravesite of the late President John Fitzgerald Kennedy, where the eternal flame, probably made by the Zippo people, because the Zippo windproof lighter, I don't care how windy it gets, where you are on the face of God's green earth, whether you're 10,000 feet up there, you're climbing a mountain, or you're on a mountain trail walking along and suddenly it's like, well, we should stop here and make camp and have a cigarette. Thank goodness we have our case knife and our Zippo windproof lighter. Explore the 15,000 square foot museum in a self-guided tour of engaging exhibits. Even the first Zippo lighter. It's in the museum, the very first one. It must have been the prototype. 15,000 square foot museum. How big? I mean, how many knives? Knives are small. Zippo lighters are not large unless they have these replicas. Giant. Let's take a look at the Zippo windproof lighter in this replica. That is 10 times, even 10 times, it'll be 100 times, even 50 times the size of the actual Zippo windproof lighter. What? What are they doing 15,000 square feet for knives and Zippo windproof lighters? That's not all here. Of course, I have put my commentary in between the sentences I'm reading. Even the first, then after you're done with the 15,000 square feet and you've seen the first Zippo windproof lighter, then visit the Zippo Case flagship store and choose your souvenir. I'll betcha, need we say anything? Choose your souvenir. Souvenir. I'll betcha it's a Zippo lighter. Or one of the many, many case knives. I'm not laughing at the fact that these things exist or that they're there. I just, a museum for Zippo and case knives. Zippo lighters and case knives. And by the way, you could share this on Facebook. You know, everything, I think I told you this before. If you haven't heard it, I'll tell this to you again. The Twitter accounts, products have Twitter accounts. People have Twitter accounts. People's pets have Twitter accounts, right? But products. And once in a while, if you're right, you're really clever, as I did something and I wrote to General Electric. I tweeted back to General Electric once and I said, is there a specific electric? That was all I wrote. Never expecting to hear from them. I did hear from them. They tweeted back to me and said, we see what you did there. Ha, or something like laugh or a smile or an emoticon. More. Oh. Yes. Well, where did it go? If it didn't go? Oh, it's on me. This is our... That's what happens when you do a radio show and you got mucus on. Oh, it's still... Look at that. Why didn't I bring down tissues? Instead... Oh, stop it. Get up. This is just... It's embarrassing. Well, I'll take care of that later. When I was a kid and I had various colds that went into my chest, and I didn't realize that you had to spit up the mucus. They'd always say, don't swallow that. Spit up the mucus. Get rid of it. That's how you get rid of it. That's how you get rid of it. When you cough, you rumble up your chest, and then you spit it out. You're never going to get better. You swallow it. Just a little. So there you go. The if you're ever in Bradford, it's been there for 20 years. And it's free. Does the flagship store keep this thing going? It looks like it's pretty baked, too. There's one picture of it. It's on Zippo Drive, of course. On the corner of Zippo and Case. Well, where were you? I was on the corner of Zippo and Case. I got myself a knife, and I burned it. You know what's good about, let me tell you something. If you happen to have a pocket knife and a Zippo windproof lighter, and you get a splinter, and you have those two things, again, this is one of those little things that I know about. It's not particularly academic. You know, a splinter, a wood splinter, a metal splinter, or something that needs to leave, that got into your skin that shouldn't be there, then you'll be in good shape because you will have a Zippo, which is a flame, and that flame will continue to go, even if it's windy or whatever. The flame will go. You take one of those, if you got a case knife that has more than one blade, you get the thinnest, sharpest blade you can, with the sharpest point or the more, and you burn it. You put it over the Zippo flame for a while until it starts to turn a little brown or black, whatever, dark. The blade is silver. Then you can safely take out, not worry about infection. You could cut through your skin and get the splinter out. Because what you've done is you've sterilized the knife. So there's two reasons why carrying a Zippo windproof lighter and a case pocket knife or knife. Maybe they make other kinds of knives. I don't know. I haven't looked it up. Maybe they make knives, big knives, Bowie knives, butter knives. Steak knives. Think about all the knives. Maybe they make the knives in the circus where the guys throw the knife throwers. Who knows? Maybe those are case knives. I have no idea. I'm not like those guys on talk radio that say, well, here's what it's like and here's where it goes. I don't even know I could do Rush Limbaugh, but I just did, only it was higher. Well, here's how it goes and here's what it is and I'm going to roll off my chair right now. I didn't know I could do that, and I didn't do it very well, and I'm not going to do it again. So thank you very much for being here on this evening. And by the way, that is true. I tried in the last minute to find out certain things, but we didn't do it. Maybe we'll do it next week. But as I said, there are some announcements to make that will affect broadcasting on the interweb. Again, more? You again, Frank? Really? Some new stuff that's going to go on. And also some changes over at 4Culture. Remember 4Culture? Everyone is still there. And you could still see it. And, I was on there every month for a while. I'm supposed to be coming back for every month if I ever get my act together. But we'll be dealing with that, and we'll be telling you about that, and maybe the Artist D will drop by perhaps next week or with more notice and be here to talk about some of those changes and some things, some new things. There's new things you're going to be involved if you want to be involved. And you can watch and listen and do whatever you want to do. Zippo, you think that there was anywhere in broadcasting, in the broadcasting landscape, if that's one way of, in the territory of radio broadcasting, podcasting, or anything like that, you think anywhere today they talked about the Zippo Case Museum? You learn things here. And you also learned about these fraudulent And it is a fraud. I know they're trying. I know it's a marketing plan and they're selling something, but to get your attention like this, it's a fraud. I know, that's just, and I'm just saying like, are you kidding me? That's good marketing. I was going to do something else, but I'm not going to do it because we're pretty much less than 10 minutes away from the end of this show and the beginning of Savino Veritas. And I remind all of you stations that may be running this show, you could run Savino Veritas right after it. Go to juicetalk.com, download it, and play it. That's it. There you go. It's wonderful content. Suddenly I should use sounds. I ran out of words. I'll just do sounds. I was going to read you something. I didn't read it to you, and I was going to do something else, and I'm going to follow up on something I have talked about over the years here and there. Positive stuff, my friends. Positive stuff. I'm not going to do that right now because it's going to take too long. And we only have a certain amount of time. I do want to remind you that, well, what else? I know, 148.ca/Frank. Every week there's something else there. There's going to be more as the weeks go on, as we get into June. We're going to have more guests. Stacey Lane Wilson will be back. She can make it tonight. She couldn't. And she'll be back talking about Sue LA and other Los Angeles things, which is always great because I love LA. I love LA. I love LA. And who else? What wouldn't they just mention? I was going to mention something else too. For culture. I said for culture. Oh, yes, of course. The Montreal Jewish News and Political Pulp gets a lot of attention. And I thank all my readers. It's there every month that the site is working. It's just everything's so tenuous. Everything in the tech world is tenuous. When I'm driving 10 some odd hours from Pennsylvania to Kentucky in a car that does all sorts of great things, like how hot do you want it on your side, the passenger side? How hot does the driver want it? How hot do you want it in the back? What would you like to hear, you know? Would you like to hear comedy routines on radio? Oh, how do you know where you're going? Just ask the car. If you don't know, my father used to say, when you're driving around this country, just watch the signs. Stay in the main highways. As long as you follow the signs will tell you exactly. You can't get lost. You cannot get lost. Unless you turn off and go up a side road and find yourself at the Hatfields and the McCoys. But the thing is that, you know, you can't get lost. Just follow the signs. The signs are great. What was my point? My point is that the cars are just, when you travel a long time in a car these days, you're in for the digital experience. And want to know where you're going? Ask the car. If you're in a city, they know everything. That lady, that voice, that wonderful person tells you and beeps you, tells you where you're going and how to get there. You don't need a map anymore. The map companies went out of business, or, like newspapers, there are so few of them, only people who walk or have cars that predate the fantastic satellite systems that are now connected to every car. And I'm not talking about Sirius Radio. I'm talking about comedic radio. No, I'm talking about those unbelievable displays of direction given to you when you just give them an address. 1124, you say, name, address, and place. And that's not even, I'm not even imitating that correctly. It's not like that. It's not, she talked, I can't do her. We called her Thelma. For some reason, Thelma came. I don't know why we called her Thelma. It just came to mind to call her Thelma. Oh, look, there's something else. I had two things I didn't do. I can't believe how quickly, even now, after all these years, how quickly it goes 2 hours. So, But the cars, I'm telling you, cars tell you, it's amazing. It's just amazing. Turn right. And 22.67 feet. Turn right. On Calabine Boulevard. And it knows the street. It knows how many feet it is to the street. What? All you do is tell it the destination address. Why am I acting like I just got out of a time machine and I never saw this? This exists. See, I don't have one in my car. I never had one in my car. It's predated. But holy crap, those things are amazing. And I love them. I love all the things that have made our lives simpler. And here's it, that made our lives more accurate. That's what I'm going to say. George Will would be proud that I used it. Made our lives more accurate. The digital experience. It brought me to you. It keeps me with you. And it allows you to get in a car. And it'll tell you where to go. If it's a new car. And a lot of people have newer cars than older cars. Tell you where to go. So, and keep you just safe and sound or whatever. But always keep your eyes on the road, your hands upon the wheel. I know it's a bad Jim Morrison. Keep your eyes on the road, your hand. It's bad. Well, my name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show, and I don't think people are out there trying to imitate me. And if they are, I'd like them to do it. Call me, and I'll put you on the show. If you have an imitation of me that you'd like to do, I will have you on the show. Give me your Skype number, and we'll put you on the show. And you can imitate me, Frank Cotolo. Even if it's only like, you know, like I do imitations. You know, a couple of words here and there, or you got, you know, like a soundboard thing. There are Frank Cotolo soundboards out there. So you could do that. In the meantime, in between time, you could connect with me at Facebook. I don't go there much, but I will go there now and then. And of course, that's how you find out what's happening here too. Frank Cotolo there. That's what I am there. And you can go to Twitter at Frank Cotolo. Capital F, capital C. I did it the way you should do it. And Amazon, you know, Google me, find out things you want to know. I want to say hello to the Smiths who we met in Louisville. Wonderful people. David and Celia were great people. And I'm going to stay in touch with them, and I hope they're listening or they somehow catch on and listen. I didn't go on tour to get people listening. That was not the idea. What was the idea anyway? Just have a good time. And I did. And we'll be back. Hopefully, Kurt Brando's okay. We'll give you an update on that. And we will hear from him. I hope he'll be back. Heather Drain, the whole gang. We're going to get more people on here soon. You'll see. It'll happen. In the meantime, we are saying stay tuned for great programming. There you go. And that'll work for every station. And we'll be back, hopefully. You just never know what's going to happen, but hopefully we'll put a couple of successive shows together with and without guests. And it'll be just dandy. My name is Frank Cotolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. Go read my books. Go read my blogs, my books, and do your best. Good night, this is Ernst Weil, wherever you may be located. Stay in touch. Stay in touch. Look around you and get over to a Cracker Barrel and find out about Bunny Bread. Read it, but, you know, just have some fun with you. You know, a lot of things going on the web. Okay, that takes care of that for now. Okay, breadheads! Time to go! Why? I have nothing more to say.